When you think about the resurrection of Christ, we celebrate it on Easter, but here's the great thing about his resurrection is those three words, he is risen, have power in your life and in my life today. In fact, I want you to look at the person next to you and just say, he is risen. Just look at him and say, he is risen. You know, when we think about those three words, it's something that we focus on typically for a very small season, a very small part of a year. We set it aside for a day, then we move on from it. And that entire season of our life, while we're away from those three words, we're missing out on the most powerful thing that's ever taken place, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you look at what we have in God's Word, we find out that creation, that's pretty powerful, right? It's pretty amazing. But you know, the faith of Christianity, my faith and your faith, it doesn't all hinge on creation and how it took place and how it unfolded. Now don't get me wrong, God created the heaven and the earth, and that's absolutely amazing. He set it in order, and he put it in place, and he said, this is how it's going to move, and this is how it's going to take place. But when it comes to the redemption of your life and my life, when it comes to the aspect of power for everyday living, to be able to overcome the hurts, the failures, the setbacks, the struggles, to gain understanding as to where we are and move to where he wants us, it's the resurrection of Jesus that changes everything. When we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, people would say he was probably the greatest Christian to ever walk the face of the earth, with the exception of Jesus Christ. We look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and Paul said, look, I came from the best background that you can come from. He said, I had an incredible education in my day. When it came to the Old Testament and the law, I knew it inside and out. I could get everything right. When it came to the whole aspect of how we're supposed to live this life and how we're supposed to make daily choices, that there was really nobody better than me. Do you know what Paul said? Paul said, when everything's said and done, I was a pretty incredible guy. And you know, some of us get better with age. Have you ever noticed that? We look back to those younger years, and we talk about how good we used to be. And those of us that knew them then are thinking in our mind, did it really happen like that? But here's something. Paul wasn't having that moment. Paul wasn't trying to relive a glory day. Paul was living in the moment where he said, look, according to what everybody says is good and what everybody says is great, You could make me the poster boy for that. I could be the one that was the description of it. You could take my life and you could kind of draw the picture and the example from it. But here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, as good as I was not good enough. I needed something more. And that something more is Jesus. And when Jesus took hold of my life, his power changed everything about me. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to see just a few verses that are absolutely incredible. In verse number 7, Paul writes and he says this, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He says, those things that everybody said, man, to have that on your resume, that's incredible. Paul, I wish I could be like you specifically in that area. Paul said, look, I would give it all up. I would walk away from it in a New York minute. He says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, get this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And then he says this, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, look, there's something about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I've walked with him for a period of time. In fact, I'm writing a letter to churches. And I can't quite describe the power of his resurrection. But he said, here's one thing I know. All of my faults, all of my failures, all of my wins, all of my victories, all the things that other people look at me and say, wow, I wish I could be like Paul in this area. He says, I'm willing to give every one of those things up and count them as just garbage so that I can know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind, Paul's already a believer. He's already walking with Jesus. But he says there's something about the power of the resurrection that the more I know him, the more it changes me. And today, some of us know Jesus. Some of us have accepted Christ. And we've walked with him for quite a while. Yet we're failing to let the power of his resurrection work in our life. We look around at the circumstances. We look at the struggles. We find ourselves in a situation of discouragement. We find ourselves in a situation of doubt, as we're going to look at in just a moment from the life of Thomas. We find ourselves in paths and walking a road of life that we didn't sign up for. And we say, how am I going to go through this? Or this thing that's called Christianity is not what I thought it was going to be. Do you know what Paul said? Paul said, it's the power of his resurrection that helps me become more like him. It's the power of his resurrection that when I'm struggling, I can look to and I can know that there's more to this thing that we call life than just the struggle. Paul said, I can look to the power of his resurrection and I can look around and say, you know what? Today's discouragement, today's doubt, today's anxiety, today's struggle, today's setback, it's only temporary. The power of his resurrection is eternal, and that's what changes my life. Well, we look at the life of Paul, and Paul had been walking with Jesus for an extended period of time. Jesus' resurrection is almost 3 decades old, but now we go back to an event that happened just 8 days after the resurrection. So let's look at this. We've got 8 days after the resurrection, and we've got a couple of decades after the resurrection. Paul says, look, the power of the resurrection has changed me, and it continues to change me. The power of the resurrection and walking with Jesus and learning more about him and trusting him and taking my next step and following his direction in my life, it continues to change me. How did that take place? Was Paul always somebody that believed in the power of his resurrection? Absolutely not. Was Paul always someone who said, Lord, I just want to go with you wherever you want me to go. You invite me to do something and my answer is going to be yes. No, that's not always who he was. Was Paul one that always followed the leading of God's word in the Old Testament? No. Because Paul was trying to stop this thing called the church. You see, there was a time where Paul had his doubts. There was a time where Paul had his struggles. But he moved beyond those doubts. And there's a guy tucked away in the Gospel of John. Quite honestly, we don't read a lot about him in the scripture, and we don't read a lot about him in history. But what we do read about him is pretty powerful. And honestly, he's kind of gotten a bum rap because he's not just known as Thomas the twin. He's known as what? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Guy has a bad 8-day run in his life, and that's what he's known for forever, right? If we look at the life of Thomas, here's something that we learn. Thomas was called by Jesus, and he was invited to be one of his followers. And he followed Jesus for nearly 3 years. And then when it came time to head to Jerusalem, some of the other disciples said, hey, we can't go back there. But Thomas stood forward, and he said, Jesus, we'll go with you, and we'll go back there and fight, and we'll die. Yet when Jesus dies, Thomas finds himself in a place of discouragement. He finds himself in a place where he's overrun and overwhelmed with the struggles and issues that are surrounding him. And all he can see is the chaos. All he can see is his experiences and what he's just witnessed and what seems to be unknown. And now he finds himself in a place where many have named him Doubting Thomas. Well, let's take a look at what John chapter 20 and verse number 24 has to say. It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus has already appeared to some of the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. It says, then the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" They came back and they said, "Thomas, you're not going to believe it. We've seen Jesus." And he said, "You're right, I'm not." That's just where he was. He says, "Look, I saw him hang on the cross. I know that he was buried in a tomb. I know the tomb, the place where he was laid. I know that there was a big stone in front of it. I know that there were guards that were there. But here's a reality. I know that he died. But this stuff that he's risen again, uh-uh." He said, this is where I'm at. "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. Emphasis on the doors being shut, because the other disciples have already witnessed the resurrected Jesus, but now they're all together and the doors are closed. And the doors are closed because, according to other passages of Scripture, they are still what? Afraid. They're not certain as to how everything is going to shake out. They're not certain as to whether they're next. They're not certain as to what is next in their life. They're gripped, so to speak, by fear. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And he said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But get this, verse number 31 says this, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." You know, when I begin to look through that passage of Scripture, there's three things that I just want to cover today. Just want to walk through them quickly. But I want you to know that when you look at verse number 31, God says, "I don't want you to live a life of doubt. I don't want you to stay where you are. If you've got a little bit of faith, I want you to grow your faith. If you've got a lot of faith, I want you to become more believing. I want you to trust me even more." He says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is who he says he is, but that you might have life, and have life that's in him." Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, "These things are written that you might know the power of the resurrection. That you might overcome your doubts. That you might overcome your skepticism. That you might take your next step of faith, whatever that next step might be." So let me ask you something right now. what would your next step be? Would your next step be trusting Jesus as Savior? Would your next step be serving in some capacity? Would your next step be sharing your faith? Would your next step be saying, look, I want to know more about the power of the resurrection and engaging with Him in His Word and in prayer on a daily basis? What would your next step be, taking a step to invest in His kingdom through your resources, your abilities, your gifts, the things that God has entrusted to you? What would your next step be? Because undoubtedly today, we're not all sitting here just like Thomas was, wondering if Jesus is real. But every one of us, we can look at Thomas and we can beat up on him and we can call him Doubting Thomas and we can say, man, how could you not believe? And then we really need to ask ourselves this question: how can I not take a next step in my faith? How can I not get to know him more, walk with him more, trust him more? Well, let's look at Thomas and where Thomas is at. I want you to notice that when Jesus came in to meet the disciples, he said, peace be with you. When he came in to meet Thomas and the disciples again, he said, peace be unto you. When we look at Thomas's response, Thomas hears the story of the other disciples, and he said, you know what? Except I see, I will not believe. I'm going to need to see the print in his hand, and I'm going to need to see the mark in his side. When that happens, then I'll believe. What was Thomas saying? Thomas was giving us an indication. He was giving us a picture that Thomas was controlled by his doubts. Thomas was controlled by his doubts. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been in a situation where you doubted that you were the right person for the job? Have you ever been in a situation where you doubted that God could use you? Have you ever been in a situation where you doubted your worth and your ability? Have you ever been in a situation where you've literally said, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm good enough, and I think I'm just going to have to sit this one out, and I'm going to sit over on the sidelines because I'm doubting my value, I'm doubting my worth, and all I do is look around at the circumstances of life, and I doubt that God loves me, I doubt that God has a plan for me, I doubt that this thing called Jesus and God and the Word are actually what my pastor says they are, or what the Bible even says they are, because right now all I can see is chaos around me. All I can feel are the struggles and the weights of life. And we sit here, and all the while, what are we focused on? We're focused on what we can see and what we can experience. And somebody comes by and says, hey, I know life has been tough on you right now, and I know that life is hard, but here's a reality. God loves you and God cares for you. And all you can see are the circumstances and the struggles that are immediately around you. And you say, if God loved me and if God cared for me, then why am I struggling like this? Why do people treat me this way? No, I can't get up and get off the bench and engage in anything. I have to sit right here, right now, because I'm controlled by doubt. Can God really transition my marriage back to what it once was? Can God use me on the job? Can God use me in the church with my faults and my failures? There's a weight of a financial struggle in my life. And I just don't know that God can get me through some of those things. I want to tell you something. Right here in John chapter 20, all Thomas can see is the chaos of life. All he can see are the struggles. It's amazing to stop and think that Thomas was isolated and alone. We don't know where he was, and we don't know what he was doing, but we know he wasn't with the other disciples. And sometimes just feeling like we're on the outside looking in is enough to make us experience some doubt, to question our worth, to question our value, to wonder if Jesus is enough, to wonder if we are enough. Yet when we look at Thomas, he's being controlled by his doubts. And why did he remain there? He remained there because he refused reliable testimony. People that he had lived life with for 3 years came to him and said, "Thomas, I want you to know that Jesus is risen." He said, "Uh-uh. There's so much going on in my life. You don't understand. What's going on in my life is real." And they're like, "No, Thomas. Jesus is risen. We have seen the resurrected Savior." Undoubtedly, word had spread through Jerusalem that one who was crucified is said to be risen. And his friends come and say, "Thomas, we've seen it." And he says, "No. Uh-uh." Let me ask you something. Why is it when it comes to spiritual things, we'll be so quick to trust the deceiver, Satan, that tells us we have no worth, that we have no value, that we need to remain in doubt? Yet people that we live life with that do love us and care about us, and they've shown it over and over and over, they can come along and say, "Hey, you know what? God's not done with you. God's got a plan for you. You can trust God in this area." And we'll back away and say, "No, I just don't feel like I can, because this is how I feel." Thomas was refusing reliable testimony. Today, some of us are refusing some reliable testimony. We're refusing some reliable words. And we're staying where we are. Where we're holding on and clinging to our discouragement. We're holding on and clinging to our doubts. We're holding on and clinging to our circumstances. You see, Thomas was controlled by his doubts. Thomas had extreme demands. You know what? Thomas was one who refused to believe unless some conditions were met. And what were those conditions? Thomas said, "Except I see. Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." No, it has to come to me, and it has to be personal. Get this for just a minute. For 8 days, Thomas made the choice to continue in discouragement. Thomas made the choice to continue in doubt. Thomas made the choice to question the power of Jesus. He made the choice to question, "Is Jesus really enough?" You say, "Why do you say he was questioning Jesus?" Because Jesus had already said, "This is the way it's going to go. I will be crucified. I will be buried. But on the third day, I will rise again." Jesus had already said it. This man who was once ready to go to Jerusalem and die with Jesus, and all he could see there were the people and the mob, but he couldn't see a Savior. Now in his circumstances, it is not seeing a Savior. He's still seeing his circumstances. He's still seeing his emotion. He's still seeing the things that are growing his doubt and crushing his faith. So what would happen? For 8 days, Thomas missed out on He missed out on peace. What is that? He missed out on a personal relationship with Jesus. He missed out on a personal faith in Jesus. He missed out on a greater purpose. And all the while, for 8 days, Thomas is sitting over here doubting life, doubting purpose, wondering, "Does God care?" Asking himself, "Am I enough?" Wondering why he's in the setting and situation that he is in. And all the while, people had come by and said, "Thomas, we've seen Jesus. It's going to be okay." Did they understand everything? Absolutely not. But they were taking some next steps. They were moving on, and they were saying, "Thomas, what would you come with us?" And Thomas said, "No, I'm just staying right where I am." Can I just encourage you in something today? Don't let the doubts and the discouragement and the fears of this life keep you right where you are. Don't let the circumstances of life and the deceiver tell you that you are not enough and to cause your doubts to overwhelm your mind and your heart and to remove the passion of Jesus in your life. Thomas was being controlled by doubts. But here's what happened. Thomas said, nope, I'm going to go on for a period of time, and I'm just going to continue like I am. So 8 days later, what happens? Christ walks in, and Christ crushed his doubts. It says in verse number 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. He said, okay, Thomas, I'm going to treat you just like I treated them. Even though you are saying, look, I'm not going to believe unless I can see, unless I can put my finger in the print in the palms of his hands, and unless I can go ahead and thrust my hand into his side, I am not going to believe. Here's what Jesus does. Christ shows up, and he crushed his doubts. Well, what does that mean? Here's the first thing that it means. It means that Jesus met Thomas where he was. He didn't come in and say, Thomas, you know what? You've questioned me. You've missed out on these things for 8 days. You're living a life of misery. I intended you to be more. You won't listen to anything. It's kind of like his walk to Emmaus with some of the other disciples. He met them right where they were. He didn't say, man, I can't believe we spent this time together and you don't even know who I am. You didn't trust my word. No, he just comes and he meets Thomas and he says, okay, Thomas. And here's what he says, peace to you. Peace to you. Some of us look and we say, okay, that's not a big deal. Jesus was just saying, don't be afraid. That's not what peace to you means in this passage of Scripture. You see, scholars that have studied the text and understand the original language and the culture and tied all of the words together tell us that it means much more than that. Well, what does it mean? Peace to you. Jesus was saying, Thomas, your sins are forgiven. Peace to you. He was saying the slavery to sin is broken. Thomas, you don't have to stay where you are. Sins are forgiven. Slavery to sin is broken. You can make yourself a servant of something greater than sin now. He says, peace to you. It means that Jesus was showing up and saying, I've taken care of your fears and your cares. Jesus just walks into the room and he says, hey, Thomas, I want you to know I've got your fears and your cares. Think about that for just a moment. Thomas is sitting over here. He's in doubt. The other people have said, look, you just need to trust us on this. And Thomas says, no, I'm going to stay right where I am. And Jesus walks in the room and he says, peace to you. He says, Thomas, I want you to know that your sins are forgiven. Thomas, I want you to know that you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You can give your life to something greater. You don't have to be controlled by your doubts. You don't have to be controlled by discouragement. You don't have to be controlled by all the if-onlys in life. You don't have to be controlled by knowing and wondering who I really am. Thomas, I am here for you. I am the resurrected Savior. He says, peace to you. Don't stay where you are, Thomas. Don't be controlled by your doubts. What else did Jesus say? Jesus said, Thomas, peace to you. I'll take your fears and I'll take your worries. You can give those to me. I don't know about you, but I've never minded trading my doubts for faith. Trading my fears and my worries for his security. Because ultimately what Jesus was coming in and saying, peace to you. He was saying, Thomas, I've taken care of everything that you can't take care of. Thomas, here it is. So the conversation continues. He says, Thomas, I'm going to repeat your demands, and I'm going to meet your demands. This is where you are, Thomas. This is what I'm going to give you. He says, your sins are forgiven. I've secured your eternity. So Thomas, just so you know, I know. He says, come over here and put your finger right here in the palm of my hand. Look at my hands. He says, Thomas, would you come and reach your hand right here and put it into my side? Isn't it amazing that Jesus meets him right where he was? Verse number 27, Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. You know what? Jesus didn't want Thomas to stay right where he was. Jesus didn't want Thomas to be controlled by his doubts and go through life and wonder if he was enough, to wonder if Jesus was really real, to wonder if Jesus could really control things. Jesus didn't want to come in and beat up on Thomas, but Jesus did want to crush his doubts, and that's exactly what he did. He said, Thomas, I want you to know, look, peace be to you. Take a look at my scars. Take a look at the nail prints. Take a look at my side. I want you to know that I've secured your salvation, and I've overcome the very things that you were worried about and the very things that you are questioning. I've taken care of those things. You are secure in me. And Thomas takes the invitation, and what does Thomas say? Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. What was Jesus doing? Not only would Christ crush his doubts, but Christ would grow his faith. Christ would grow his faith. He didn't leave him where he found him. He said, Thomas, I want to sit here and I want to talk with you, and I want you to walk with me. So Thomas gives this big statement, my Lord and my God. Think about that for just a moment. What was Thomas saying? Thomas said, wow. All this time I've been wondering what I can do, but now my faith has been assured. What does that tell us? That your assurance of faith, that my assurance of faith, it doesn't come from what we can do, but what God has already done. So what did Jesus do? Jesus stepped forward, and as the Blue Letter Bible commentary says, Jesus came and he revealed his wounds. But as he revealed his wounds, he was revealing his word. You see, Jesus said, Thomas, you need to see my wounds. You can go ahead and see them. But I want you to understand, Thomas, that my wounds reveal my word. And I've already told you and the others that the Son of Man would be turned over to an angry mob and that I would be crucified, but on the third day I would rise again. So I want you to know that my wounds, they line up with my word. And my wounds reveal my word, but my wounds and my word also reveal my love. They also reveal my sacrifice. They reveal my love and my sacrifice. They reveal the peace and the forgiveness and the hope that I can give to you. But Thomas, they reveal that I don't want you to stay right where you are. Thomas, my wounds and my word, they show my scars so that you might be what? Believing. And he said, Thomas, right now, you're controlled by your doubts. But I'm asking you to be controlled by my wounds and my word. So let me ask you something today. Let me ask you this. What's controlling your life right now? What's pushing your life? What's got you wrapped up in doubt? What's got you wrapped up in discouragement? For Thomas, it was the circumstances, the things that he could look around and see and what he had experienced. And he said, you know what? Those things are more powerful than the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus shows up and says, no, Thomas, they're not. My wounds line up with my word. And here's what they reveal. They reveal that I want you to take a step and to trust me. And what does Thomas do? He says, my Lord and my God. You see, before Thomas said, I'll follow you, and he followed him. Thomas said, hey, if you want to go to Jerusalem and they're going to kill you, I'll die with you. But would he have really? No, because they all fled. After the resurrected Jesus, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I can see it. But at this moment, here's what he said. He said, Jesus, my Lord and my God, I believe that you are who you say you are. And I want you to know at this moment, at this time, I'm all in. I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to leave my doubts behind. And even those voices of doubts that are going to still speak, and even those circumstances that are going to be uncomfortable, I'm going to go ahead and continue to trust him. I'm going to go ahead and continue to listen to your word and remember your scars. And today, it might seem like it's a little different for you and I, but can I tell you something? His word reveals his wounds. It reveals his word and his truth. It says that Jesus is enough, and the power of the resurrection can change our life. You know, Thomas overcame his doubts. Tradition tells us that Thomas would walk with Jesus for the remainder of the time that he spent alive on earth. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission and they all began to go out and the church began to develop, that Thomas would carry the gospel to India. He went from a doubter to someone who carried the hope and love, the sacrifice, the wounds, and the word of Jesus to people who knew nothing about it. And legend says that Thomas gave his life sharing the gospel, and he died of a spear piercing his side. Well, I don't know whether he actually died with a spear piercing his side or not, but I know this. The Bible says that that's what he wanted to see of Jesus. He wanted to see his wounds. He wanted to see his scars. And Jesus showed up and said, Thomas, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And on that day to Thomas, the Word of God in flesh said, here's my wounds. And for you and for me today, the word that we hold reveals his wounds, his love, his care, his compassion. And today, maybe it's time for you to say yes to his word. Maybe it's time for you to say yes to him and to say, okay, Christ, I'm ready for you to crush my doubts and to grow my faith. Because I accept today that you want me to be believing. The word of God says in verse number 31 of John chapter 20 that these things were written that we might believe. Not so that we might remain in doubt. Not so that we would continue to walk in struggle. But so that we might believe. To believe that God loves us. To believe that there's incredible worth in a relationship with him. To believe that there's a next step for us to take in our faith. So today, what will it be for you? What will your next step be? Will it be to trust Jesus for salvation right here, right now? Will it be to trust him and serve him? Will it be to overcome the doubts that are tearing you apart on the inside and causing you to almost be double-minded, as James talks about. And one day it's this, and the next day it's that. Would you let Jesus meet you with his word and his wounds and say, I'm enough. Together, we'll get through this. Stay with me. Walk with me. I gave my life for you. Would you just say, I'll go with you? Maybe today, that's what it is for you. To stay connected closer to him. Whatever your next step is, I encourage you today to take it. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Maybe today you need to know Jesus as your Savior. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus before, if you've never invited him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, maybe today is the day you do that. Maybe today you say a simple prayer just like this that says, Dear Jesus, the best I know how, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and to be my Savior. I'm thanking you for trusting me with your love and the precious gift of salvation and giving that gift to me. So Jesus, help me to hold on to it and help me to live it. Maybe today you've already prayed a prayer like that. What's your next step? Does it need to be, my Lord and my God, I'm all in. I'm not holding back anymore. I want you to have first place in my life. I want you to be the one that I walk with. Maybe today you need to take care of that. In just a minute, we're going to have a time of response, a time where we're going to stand together and sing. And if you want to come and pray, you're going to be able to do that. If you want to just sing right where you are and let God move in your life, that's fine as well. But whatever God encourages you to do in taking that next step, today I encourage you to take it. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, as we respond to you today, I pray that you would help us to know clearly what our next step needs to be. Not a step away from you. God, Father, not for us to move without you. Not for us to let the circumstances of our life to control us. But God, to let you control us. To move beyond the emotion. To move beyond the pain. To move beyond the circumstance. And just to say to you, God, you are enough. My Lord and my God, I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. Help us, we pray. For it's in Christ's name.
Being a part of Harmony at Home and allowing us to share hope with you. You know, when we think about the love of Jesus, it's absolutely amazing to stop and realize that he gave his life for you and for me. And all we have to do is simply put our faith and trust in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that changes us for all eternity. Today, if you've never invited Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to do that right now. It's as simple as admitting that your life is not perfect, admitting that you've sinned, that you've missed God's mark of perfection, and putting your faith and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is God's love in action, and he demonstrated his love for you and for me by going to the cross, by being buried, and by rising again on the third day. And today, if you'd like to invite him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, I would encourage you, right where you are, just to simply say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and to be my Savior. And he will do it. If you've made that decision today, please let us know. Please reach out to us. We would love the opportunity to help you learn more about who Jesus is and the incredible plan that he has for your life. If you are a part of the Harmony family, you're a part of our Harmony online community and our online campus, I want to thank you for joining us as well. And I want to invite you to start regathering with us in person if you would like to do so. But please remember, we're keeping everything online as well, so you're not going to miss out on our Sunday morning experience and the other things that we've been doing through the week, we're going to continue to offer those and to continue to meet a need in your life. And if you would like to help us continue to serve our community and literally the world, we would encourage you to hop on over to harmonyofavon.com/give, and you'll be able to help us continue the ministry and to make a difference, not only here locally, but globally as well. Thank you for being a part of Harmony at Home, and I pray for God's greatest blessings in your life, and I hope that you'll continue to stay connected to us throughout the week.